clothed with the fire of his Holy Spirit. I'm going to look at some scriptures concerning fire and the Lord. Moses saw the burning bush, but it wasn't consumed. That was the fire of God's presence. And the Lord often comes in fire. Let's look at Numbers 11, some manifestations of fire, and what the significance of being baptized by fire means, or the Holy Ghost and fire. Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched or extinguished. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. It literally means a burning. And why? Why did the Lord fire? Because the people complained and it displeased the Lord. Your speech is very important. And what you say, and the Lord will burn and consume you outside the camp. And many will, Ananias and Sapphira, lie to the Holy Spirit about selling a piece of land, and they withheld some of the money, and they lied to Peter and the Holy Spirit, and the fire of the Lord consumed them. Elisha went and had a showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and killed an ox and poured water all over the altar and the ox. And at evening time, fire came down from heaven and consumed the offering. There are offerings of fire. Let's look at Numbers 15:3. Let's see what the manifestations of fire are according to the scriptures. I'll start at verse 1. Numbers 15, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have come into the land you are to inhabit, which I am giving to you, and you make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed feast, to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the third, from the herd or the flock. All right, so these are the offerings by fire to the Lord. The burnt offering or a sacrifice, Jesus said, he was the, his crucifixion on Calvary was a offering of fire. He was a sacrifice of fire to fulfill a vow, or as a freewill offering, or in your appointed feast. There are also burnt offerings there to make a sweet aroma to the Lord from the herd or the flock. So flesh is implied in this. It is a sweet savior unto the Lord. And then the famous one in Isaiah is chapter 6. When Isaiah had his vision of the temple and the Lord in his temple, and saw the seraphim, which are holy angels of fire, ministers of fire, and they declare to each other, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. Then down to verse 6, Isaiah 6, 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. So the baptism of fire, the Lord will come and baptize with you with fire, is for the purging of iniquity and sin. Your iniquity is burned out, and your sin is purged out by fire, the Holy Spirit and fire. All right, now I want to look at Jesus made the way for the Holy Spirit to come on Pentecost, Shavuot. We know that's the harvest time. Of course, in Matthew when we were looking at what John the Baptist declared about Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, he says, I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's going to purge you, and he's going to anoint you. He's going to make you kadosh. He's going to make you holy, set apart for the Lord and anointed, a burning lamp, a torch, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge. In Greek, pur is the name for fire, the root word for purge, to cleanse with fire. He will purge his floor, his temple, his temple built on the threshing floor of Onan on the Temple Mount, his people, and gather his wheat into the garner, that's the good fruit, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is the fires of hell. Those are the fires of hell. Now, Jesus, as we spoke before, John the Baptist dealt with the Levitical priesthood. This is the law, the Torah. This is sin. Repent from your sins. John called Herod on the floor for marrying his brother's wife. It was against the law. He broke the law, and she had him beheaded, Herodias and Salome. And as we said, John the Baptist was a product of the Levitical priesthood that had become corrupted. In the flesh, they could not keep the Torah. They could not keep the law. Now, Jesus is a Melchizedek priesthood. There was no Levite in his background. And he was able to purge and bring by fire the Holy Spirit because of this lineage, which is spoken about in Hebrews. Who is this Melchizedek? Well, Melchizedek means King of Righteousness, and he was the king of Salem. Oh, and by the way, he came out and met Abraham after he had destroyed the Hittites, the Kenites. He had a big battle in Sodom and the kings of Gomorrah, and he came and brought an offering of salted bread and tithe. Now, we're not sure if Melchizedek tied to Abraham or Abraham tied to Melchizedek. The common view is that Abraham tied to Melchizedek. He was king of Salem, which is now Jerusalem. He was the king of priests. He was king of righteousness. And it says in Hebrews that he had no lineage. He had no beginning. He was a priesthood forever, and that Jesus is this eternal priesthood, which Melchizedek represents, the king of peace, Shalom, Salem, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. Abraham never, never, never had any inheritance on the land of Israel except for a cave in Machpelah where he buried the corpses of his family, the corrupt flesh. This was a spiritual token. We are a heavenly temple. We will put off this mortal coil, and we will abide forever in the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, where the order of Melchizedek reigns, this eternal priesthood. And Abraham acknowledged that this was a higher priesthood than even the carnal things that God had offered him. There's a carnal interpretation of the scriptures. There are holy interpretations of the scriptures. And we are looking for the greater interpretation. As it says in the book of Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, Hebrews 11:8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He looked for an eternal city. Therefore, through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of the one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Therefore, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, according to the carnal mind, right? Or the carnal initiation of it. But having seen them afar off, having vision into eternity, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from where they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. He has prepared for them a city. The city of Melchizedek, priesthood, the king of righteousness, the king of Shalom, the king of the city of priests. He says, the great city of peace, the king of Israel. Jesus, the king of kings and Lord of lords, who's faithful, righteous, true, the eternal kingdom. This is the one that we're looking for and looking to. Now, Jesus is priest, prophet, and king. He, because of his shed blood, and he is the door where we enter into this eternal kingdom. And let me say in chapter 7 in Hebrews is the order of Melchizedek. Let's look again. Well, I'll start at the end of chapter 6. Verse 20, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. After the order of Melchizedek. This is Psalm 110:4, says he was the advanced man. He was the forerunner. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which is also in Hebrews 5:6, where it says, as he says also in another place, Psalm 110:4, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is the Son of God, Jesus. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Psalm 110 says this is a description of his authority and reign, kingship. The Lord said to my Lord, sit you at my right hand, and until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule you in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be willing in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at your right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath, which is coming soon. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Now let's look at this Melchizedek priesthood in Hebrews a little bit more, because this is the order. This is the baptism of fire that we go through, the sanctification process in our journey, our pilgrimage. We're strangers and sojourners here to our heavenly kingdom, whereas our king is the Lord Jesus. Okay, in chapter 6, it says the forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Chapter 7 in Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. What does it say Jesus is going to do? It says that he's going to wound the heads over many countries, nations, shatter their leaders. He's going to judge them with his rod of iron out of Zion. He will rule in the midst of his enemies. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of it all. First being by interpretation, king of righteousness, Melech, king, Zedek means righteousness in Hebrew. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. So he does the battle, he's done the warfare. He says to the kings, you better kiss my feet, lest my wrath break out against you. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like to the Son of God, abides a priest continually. He is always a priest. He always was, is, and shall be the lamb slaughtered from the foundations of the earth. The sacrifice, the blood sacrifice that permits us to enter in the door of who he is, into this by the Spirit to be part of the temple, the eternal temple of the New Jerusalem. Now consider how great this man was, to even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they that are sons of Levi, who receive the office of priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they have come out of the loins of Abraham. So what he says here is the Levites are commanded to tithe also. And they, because they were in the loins of Abraham, they tithe to Melchizedek through Abraham, through their descent. These are the ones that are the children of Abraham, in which it refers to John the Baptist say, don't think in your inward man, to the Pharisees and Sadducees, that you are sons of Abraham. God can raise up the stones. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed them that had promises. And without, so he's talking in here about the lineage or the genealogy and the tithes, the descendants, the inheritance. We are the inheritance of the Lord. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And I say, and as I may say, so say Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made necessity a change also of the law. The instructions have changed. Okay? Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come. Because the Melchizedek priesthood has been initiated. No longer the Levitical priesthood. For he of whom these things are spoken pertains to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Melchizedek didn't have a temple. He didn't have an altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises yet another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. You have eternal life because Jesus came. For he testifies, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness therefor. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a much better hope did, by which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this was an oath by him that said to him, the Lord swore and will not repent. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus met a surety of a better, he was made a surety. It was a sure thing of a better testament, guarantee, a better covenant, a better agreement. And there truly were many priests because they were not permitted to continue by reason of death. The priests died. They all died. But this man, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. How do we know that? Because he was raised from the dead. Wherefore, he is also able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needs not daily, as those high priests do, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself on that sacrifice of fire. That altar, that baptism of fire that he went through on Calvary, crucified. He offered up once. For the law makes men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, makes the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Okay, this is the conclusion of it. This is the main point. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. And he serves, the tabernacle of Moses serves as an example or representation of heavenly things. So let me go down here to verse 10, 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, Abraham and Moses, in the day when I took them by the hand, Moses, to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant. They broke covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins, and their iniquities, lawlessness will I remember no more. In that he says, a new covenant. He has made the first old. Now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away, to disappear. That's the first covenant, also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. And he goes on to describe the symbolism in the sanctuary. This is what Jesus brought for us. This is what John the Baptist says, I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals, because he's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. God bless you.